And Bismarck also continued to encourage British imperialism in Africa, hoping that colonial rivalry would drive a wedge between Britain and France. Finally, Bismarck was determined to maintain good relations with two states that had potentially conflicting interests. He wanted to maintain good relations with the Austro-Hungarian Empire and, at the same time, close relations with Tsarist Russia. In dealing with the Habsburg monarchy, Bismarck wanted to restrain Habsburg ambitions in the Balkans, where the collapse of the Ottoman Empire was setting the stage for serious tensions between Russia and Austria. In 1866-67, the Prussian military had wanted to detach territory from the Habsburgs in Bohemia. Later, we would know this territory. We'll have occasion to talk about it again in the future, the so-called Sudetenland around the periphery of Bohemia. But Bismarck had resisted the military on this, taking a very lenient approach to the Habsburg monarchy. The Prussian military wanted a great victory parade on the Ringstrasse in Vienna, which Bismarck absolutely forbade. There wouldn't be none of this. He thought in the future that Germany was going to need Habsburg cooperation and support. There were long ties, obviously, between the Habsburg monarchy and Germany, and hence he wished to have good relations. Mostly, though, he wanted to restrain the Habsburgs in the Balkans, where the potential of a power vacuum with the disintegration of the Ottoman Empire was going to lead, he feared, to real trouble. Germany, he argued, had no real interest in the Balkans, in this Ottoman territory in the Balkans. The whole area wasn't worth, as he once said, the bones of a single Prussian grenadier. So he was interested in balancing Austrian and Russian interests there. In 1879, he would enter into an alliance with Austria-Hungary, the so-called dual alliance. Although the details remained secret until 1888, European diplomats understood that there was some sort of treaty between Germany and Austria. It called for neutrality of the two parties unless either was attacked by Russia. What's important about the treaty of this dual alliance is that Germany was offering Austria its support, but not for an Austrian attack against Russia. If Austria provoked the war and went to war with Russia, with Austria the aggressor, then there was nothing in this dual alliance that would suggest German aid. So as far as Bismarck saw, in effect it meant Germany might come to Austria's aid in the event of a Russian attack on Austria, but not the other way around. And ideologically, the alliance was based on the support of the principle of monarchy. By the same token, the same ideological link was made with reactionary Russia. Friendship with Russia, close relations with Russia, had been a principle of Bismarckian policy since he first came to power in Prussia in 1862. And just as he wished to restrain the Habsburgs in the Balkans, he wanted to diminish possible sources of friction between Austria and Russia, again, by some sort of close relations with the Russians. At the Congress of Vienna in 1878, at the conclusion of the Balkan Wars, where Europe appeared to be actually on the brink of real conflict, of allowing a war, we'll talk about this two lectures from now, about these Balkan Wars, Europe appeared to be on the point of allowing a regional conflagration in the Balkans to degenerate into a real European-wide conflict. The Congress was called at Berlin in 1878. Bismarck, in dealing with the Russians and the Austrians, posed, and I don't mean this in a cynical way, he acted as what he called, quote, the honest broker, trying to find an arrangement between Austria and Russia that would allow both to see their interests served in this area. In fact, in 1873, Russia had joined Germany and Austria in the so-called Three Emperors League, based on conservative monarchic principles. Solidarity. This was renewed in 1884. And in 1887, when Russia, because of growing tension with Austria, over the Balkans. Russia balked at renewing this Three Emperors League,